And welcome back again, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Lost Podcast of Titan, where a father and son journey through the sci-fi series that unite our generations, and we provide commentary, we go on tangents, we just look at the episode, and sometimes our mind wanders, and we have fun, you know, we're on the virtual couch.
Our minds wander, but occasionally they come back.
No, sometimes they're just gone. A good example of that was the alternative factor.
Oh boy!
Occasionally we would check in on the episode, like, is this asshole still alive?
Yeah, I think that's top
are
of the.
Still worried about this?
That's top of the heap in that particular category.
I really kind of like that episode. not like the Star Trek episode, but our episode. But we are back on Star Trek. We just finished up our Guilty Pleasures Part 2, planning probably on doing more of those Guilty Pleasures. Also, we were debating doing a kind of a movie pitch idea where we try and pitch each other series, movies, whatever, pretending the other person's like a movie producer, see how that goes. Maybe discuss sequels that should have been made. You know, thoughts, ideas, tangents. Because we do more than just commentary.
That's right. We also hope that producers and directors and stuff listen in and say, hey, we need to get in touch with these guys. They're great.
Oh, Lord. I don't know why, but they don't hire really good writers. I mean, look at the new Star Wars films.
That's true.
So look at Picard. Look at Star Trek Discovery.
You look at Picard. You look at Star Trek Discovery. And send me a postcard.
Oh, Lord. I found like a fun little. This is a sci-fi series podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I found a fun little mobile game, like Starfleet Command. It looked like it was fun. It was just a little idle starbase building. Send out your ships, upgrade it, and they had this giant promotional push with all the Star Trek Discovery stuff, which didn't really interest me. But then I logged in. I couldn't even get it to fucking work. I was actually surprised, so I had to delete it, but
see,
they're just not doing anything. Like, you'd think there would be a good Star Trek game out where, you know, you could just fly in your ships, maybe do some exploration, I don't know, but they're just sitting on the license and not making any money off of it.
See, I would like a good strategic-level Star Trek game where you're working at Starfleet Command, and you have to assign ships or task forces to do this, that, or the other.
Well, there's a apparently when you don't make it, your fans will make it for you. There's a game called Sins of the Solar Empire, which is actually really, really good 4X space strategy game with ships and planets, resources, star systems, all that crap. And apparently one of the popular mods is a Star Trek mod where they replace the factions with, you know, the Federation, Klingons, and Romulans. You build the ships and stuff like that. And basically it plays kind of like the Sins of a Solar Empire game, but it's with the Star Trek aesthetic. I'll have to try that sometime. It's a somewhat older game, so most of y'all should be able to run it if you have a computer that can boot up Google Chrome. So there you go.
And also, back in the glory days of video game arcades, there was a nice game called, I believe it was Starfleet Combat Simulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. Nice vector graphics, which I always like. The only thing is that the ships were all flying. There was no three-dimensional movement. They were all flying in two-dimension.
Mm-hmm. There is a Star Trek VR Bridge Command game that looks like it's fun if you have a group of friends who are all willing to, you know, live in that moment.
I've seen gameplay from that, yeah.
Yeah, or you all just get drunk, you know, one or the other.
Who gets breakfast, who gets lunch, who gets to be the boss of this bunch?
Where's the yeoman? Oh, yeah.
There's a video game worth pursuing, a Star Trek Yeoman simulator.
Got to get that coffee to the random crew member really quickly.
Right.
Poor Yeoman. But anyway, so we're watching Season 2, Episode 2, Who Mourns for Adonis. So go ahead, feel free to put us on pause. Go to your favorite physical media or streaming service. Get to that 00 mark. Just come back to us when you're ready. Welcome back. We'll go ahead and get the show started in 3, 2, 1, play.
Leslie Parrish, who appeared in The Manchurian Candidate, she also appeared...
The fuck kind of that is... Like, I don't see how they can read that.
It's a little viewer down there, kind of like a Viewmaster or something. But she was also in, along with Julie Newmar, in the Seven Brides for Seven Brothers musical. Oh, come on.
Yeah, let Scotty, you know, play his game here. Yeah. Come on.
I mean,
why is her uniform fucked?
What do you mean her uniform is fucked? It looks really... she's not having...
Well, okay.
Okay, but... Listen. Oh, go ahead.
No, but there's like it's like she's wearing it backwards because there's a dip in the back that shows off the shoulder blade. Not that I really mind.
I was going to say, you're saying that like it's a bad thing? If she turned around again...
See?
Huh. Interesting.
Actually, I'm losing an office.
I'm losing an office.
And they were like, yeah, she's totally going to get married and just going to drop her career. Like, again... Very progressive for its time, the fact that they have a female officer, but two steps forward, one steps back.
And naturally, we're going to call a planet Pollux 4 in sync with the Greek mythology theme of this episode. A little more, I think, imagination would have helped here, but I liked it. Now,
warp out. Warp out.
Really? No, note analysis. Hit the warp drive. Bring Scotty back up here.
Can we leave?
Yeah.
Why are we still going towards the ship?
This is much...
It's not exactly going quickly.
This is much creepier, by the way, than the original version. This is one of the times when the remastered edition really did its job. Yeah, it's a hand. It's large, and it's green, and it's getting closer. Warp drive.
It's time to go.
It's not even moving that fast. Thank you. A bit late, but... It would have been nice if it had big catcher's mitt on it.
Huh. Or an eye opens up in the palm.
Ew. They did have the shields up, didn't they?
Don't know. Sometimes Kirk goes like, shields up, da-da-da-da-da. Like, he'll say shields up and then give whatever command it is.
By the way, while the credits are rolling, a big shout out to Nichelle Nichols, who has a documentary coming out called "Women in Motion" or something like that, where it talks about the contributions she made due to her role as Uhura, the contribution she made towards more women getting into the astronaut program and science and stuff like that, and just opening up those fields not only to women, but to people who might have considered themselves not, I'll just go ahead and put it on the table, not wide enough to be an astronaut or things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And looking forward to seeing
that
documentary.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. Is it, where is it coming out? Do you know?
I don't know. I just saw the trailer for it a little while ago.
Hopefully it'll be on Amazon or Netflix. But yeah, like Uhura is one of those instances where it's just a really clear line between, you know, seeing something on screen and then a generation of, you know, young women of color thinking maybe they can be more than what their mother were. Same with Scully from X-Files. Same thing happened with her, too.
The episode title, by the way, Who Moans for Adonis, comes from a poem written by Percy Bysshe Shelley. And I'll bet you people...
Oh, no. This can't be good. Someone's trying to be cute with their episode title. That means the writing's going to be pretentious schlock.
The episode was written by... See how cleverly he just has that information on hand? Ever edited by Gilbert... I mean, written by Gilbert Ralston, who did a lot of TV episode work. His only movie credit was the screenplay for the film Willard.
Is it the one with the rats?
Yes.
So, really, not that good of a writer. Got it. All right. Thank you, Spock.
Thank you. Now, can you find me some way to get out of it without making
just tune the deflectors to disperse a graviton negatron pattern,
reverse the polarity.
That's right. So he's going through scanners when he looks through that thing, I guess.
Oh, yes.
And there's lift 57 of them? Jesus Christ. Open fire.
At a projection of a face?
Come on, open fire. Pew, pew, pew. Yes. Listen, I am the captain of the SS Cynical Bastard, and we don't put up with this shit.
That's Michael Forrest, another actor who did mostly episode work and other television shows. But something that you might find of interest is for the English dubbed version of Akira, he was one of the voice actors.
I never really watched the English dubbed version of Akira.
Well, frankly, neither have I, but...
It's always more fun to like just listen to the Japanese and not listen to the not read the subtitles and just try and guess what the hell's going on. As is tradition with anime before the 1990s.
I first became acquainted with anime when I was a member of the Cartoon Fantasy Organization chapter in Houston, and this was way before anime appeared in the United States. We had to watch episodes and movies with no subtitles or nothing like that. And you can just imagine the effort trying to interpret body language of the characters. Thank you, Kirk.
No, don't close the hand.
Okay, when did Scotty come back to the bridge?
Well, he finishes coffee. He's a Scotsman. It's like, you know, he goes to work right away, and then he gets back to whatever he was doing.
I know he finished his coffee. What about the nice blonde lady he was with?
It's a euphemism. Okay. He finished his coffee.
Oh, okay. Like, he had his cornflakes that morning. Okay.
Huh? What? Damn.
Bleh. You just insulted one of their fellow crew members and you say, no sad faces.
Well, to be honest, I think most of them would have insulted that fellow crew member.
Yeah.
He's a Vulcan bastard, you remember?
Do all Vulcans spend a lot of their time building pedestals for themselves?
Yeah, apparently. Which is why I kind of want to see, I want to see the Vulcan janitor slash custodian.
Apparently they had enough money this early in the second season to build these elaborate outdoorsy looking sets.
Or they could have just been already set up.
That's possible.
Oh, hey, it's Sulu's first away, not Sulu, Chekhov's first away mission.
Yeah.
And they were, he was just hanging out right there and they just didn't know. Okay.
I'm over here, guys.
Yeah. And he thinks the blonde is going to be the love toy of the god.
Gosh. Ow, nothing gets past you, Ohms. Blimey. Just once, I'd like to see an away mission land when it's raining up cats and dogs or something like that.
That would ruin the set. Is he trying to be subtle?
Like, in that outfit?
Simple humanoid.
Yeah. She's aged great, rather gracefully, in fact. I've noticed some recent pictures of her.
What's this? Ooh. One moment, folks. I've been offered to be have food picked up for me. Hold on.
Okay. Dibs on the leftovers.
There we go.
We're really going about this the wrong way. I mean, he could have just come out and said, "Hey, I used to visit your planet 5,000 years ago, and sort of influenced and culture. You could start sending people here to this planet. We can have nice long conversations and stuff." But no, he has to play this card.
Exactly, and also this is kind of like Squire of Gothas with the same solution. Like the Squire could have just been, "Hey, hi, I'm over here. I'm also kind of lonely, but I can really help you out. I have some neat technology, and I've been studying your culture for, what was it, like 600 years or something like that?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, those do look delicious. Oh, my God. Om nom 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 nom.
When they have company and stuff, diplomatic party stuff visiting the ship, and they start running low on treats, everyone begins stripping the controls from the consoles.
Also, I love how Spock just, like, put out this really weird order for Sulu. And I don't think that was as easy as Sulu made it out to be. Grab the loot.
Yeah.
Grab the loot.
Get a souvenir.
No, isn't the loot power? Isn't like the loot some sort of magical item by legend?
No.
The loot of Apollo?
No.
What? Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I could. Hold on.
I've seen this episode.
Loot. I know. I'm talking about actual mythology.
Oh, you know, she's right. Most people think that Apollo is the sun god, but that's Helios was the sun god. Apollo was, to be more correct, the god of light. But people mistakenly...
But then who had the carriage being driven by the stallions across the sky?
That was Helios.
No, it wasn't. That was Apollo.
That was Helios.
That was Apollo.
People will confuse it and say that was Apollo's chariot, but actually it was Helios. A lot of the confusion comes about because Apollo's sister was Diana, who was the goddess of the moon.
Let's see. Apollo's chariot, Greek mythology. One of Apollo's most important daily tasks was to harness the four horses, Athion, Pyreos, Phleon, and Uios, pulling his golden chariot.
Where are you getting this from?
I'm getting it from Greek mythology wiki.
Which proves that even Wikipedia can sometimes... I got my information from Edith Hamilton's mythology. Blech.
I've also read Edith Hamilton's mythology. Helios is one of the Titans. The personification he was portrayed as driving... Holy shit, wait. What the fuck? Wait, oh wait, hold on.
Enjoy the episode, ancient people. Greek. We're kind of having a discussion here.
And heliocentral. Wait, is he a Titan or is he a god? I mean, he's just wooing the blonde standard episode, and now Scotty's going to be upset.
Yeah. Something about the lighting in Star Trek episodes, the cinematography, really makes women sort of glow more than you see in other television.
Isn't this the Vaseline over the lens trick?
I think it's a bit more sophisticated, but that could be it. I mean, you almost expect them to be able to light up dark rooms or something. All right.
Oh, damn. Was he about to shoot that guy?
Yeah.
For moving in on his coffee date? God damn. What if Apollo just wanted some coffee?
Hey, mister, you're going to have to pay for those. And, of course, she's just standing there, you know, in adoration.
Of course. Isn't this also one of Mud's women's dresses?
That may have been. They were all designed by the same person. Now I have to go back. Did she? No, she didn't have that hairstyle before. Listen, Scotty.
It's all right.
Yeah.
Of course she will.
I'm volunteering for this hazardous mission.
This is the reason why she joined Starfleet. To find hot, half-naked, sexy alien men. She's just upset it wasn't a Vulcan.
Yeah. Well, better luck next time. Yeah, and in fact, the Greek gods were written as being rather capricious.
I don't recall Apollo being this much of an asshole, though. I mean, there was the Trojan Wars, but that's kind of a...
Well, it wasn't his fault that Troy worshipped him.
Are we saying, like, gods and goddesses have issues sometimes when they have the wrong follower worshiping? Like, oh, god damn it, I got the orcs worshipping me? Really? God...
How did I rate these clowns?
I wanted to be the god of goldsmithing, not torture. Oh. Sit in the chair. Sit in the chair.
I kept expecting that. As many times as I've seen this episode, I'm kind of surprised he didn't. Interesting concept.
Oh, they've done it before in this series, didn't they?
Pardon?
The ancient alien concept?
You know, I don't remember. Although we will have episodes where it's mentioned that Earth had been visited by aliens going around taking samples from... of life forms from other planets.
Yeah.
But I say, once again, the Federation comes up against people with superior powers and abilities. Although it seems like Apollo's power doesn't extend far beyond the planet.
Wait. He called it Apollo, but the Apollo revelation took place on the planet with the away team. So how does he know that that asshole is Apollo?
He puts two and two together. I mean, the fact that Apollo referred to Spock as Pan.
Fair enough.
I believe that's an aviator slide rule he was using there. Yeah, it's what you say now.
Well, you should be. Ka-choosh, ka-choosh.
Really? Turn her into a toad or something.
He just got bored.
Serious species flaw. If they are so hungry for adoration that if they don't get it regularly, they lose all interest in life. I mean, like you said right here.
But then why not just hang out on Earth or go to any of the other populated planets?
And not make yourself so obvious. You could be the priest of your own temples and such and make sure that
you're worshipped correctly.
Right.
That you get the finest blonde yeoman to go to the back room for special offerings.
I mean, I know that Venus, or excuse me, Aphrodite, kept regular watch over her temples. That's how she found out she was losing especially male supplicants, because they all started chasing the girl's psyche.
And this is why you don't stick your dick in crazy.
Well, it's like they say at the roller coasters, you got to be this tall to ride this ride and keep your hands and legs inside the ride at all time. Oh.
See, and I don't think I could just hang around on a empty barren planet. Well, not really barren. There's life, obviously. But I just don't understand why they hang out here when they get so desperately lonely that the moment a ship passes by, they're like, come here.
And why did he move that big bowl of fruit? I just noticed that for the first time.
He got it out of that shot. He saw the camera for that shot right there and realized it was going to take up a majority of his face, so he decided to move the fruit so that he would be center frame of that, of the back and forth.
The director or assistant director was off screen motioning, move the bowl.
At least it's in his chest.
Yes. If he had said somewhere else. In fact, I have to go back and I don't know how I could check without really wasting a whole lot of time, but I imagine there's Apollo Star Trek / fiction somewhere out there. Oh, come on.
Also, I don't think he was thirsty for blood. Just saying... putting that out there. And also notice none of these gods ever actually come to Earth.
Right, I mean, couldn't have Apollo had traveled to Earth in that time, in this, the Star Trek time
period? Exactly, like, just go to Earth.
I mean, he would have had unending interest and attention from universities, government agencies, all that sort of thing.
Exactly.
Well, no one ever accused the Greek gods of being, you know, intelligence.
I don't know, there was Hephaestus.
Well, inventive is not quite the same as intelligence.
Poseidon?
Pardon?
Poseidon. Oh, wait, no. Hades. Hades is intelligent.
Well, he's kind of neat, has his own chariot, grab the Earth goddess's daughter. You know, I might grant you that.
But he also stays out of most conflicts.
Yes. Now, why are we telling this story again? Haven't we already hammered it down a little earlier?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the writer is not that good, so he's trying to stretch out the runtime here.
He was born in Ireland and died in South Carolina, by the way.
Who, Apollo? Apollo was born in Greece. What are you talking about?
No, the writer of the episode.
Oh, well, there you go.
Hopefully you guys. So they wear him out, and then what? They're still stuck down there. Oh.
Again, he's not that good of a writer, so.
Don't you just hate it when you're busy at work and someone comes along to just look over your shoulder?
Yes, actually, yes. And why is she wearing the science officer jacket? Or
no, she's not. She's not wearing a science officer suit. She's just wearing a work jacket, because she is getting. She is down there with all those icky circuits and stuff.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Anything else you want me to do?
We are back from coffee. And the coffee was hot and delicious.
And creamy.
And creamy.
God. You're really blowing this attracting new worshippers business. You do know that.
Exactly, yeah. Wait, we find the one quite adequate?
Yeah.
Is this like... I don't recall Star Trek ever going in with the monotheistic religion. Like... Who's the one god he's referring to?
Roddenberry? He wants them to kill a deer, but he's not giving him any weapons. They expect he expects them to kill a deer barehanded.
Well, they could make a bow and arrow.
What is this about these Starfleet female historical officers?
Well, she's not a historical officer.
Yeah, she's the anthropology and archaeology officer, which is why they brought her.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Did I miss that?
Yeah, when they first beamed down to the planet. But
why the fuck was she down there on the planet?
Because they needed...
And why is there an anthropologist on the ship?
Well, in case they come across ancient ruins or something like that and need analysis. But this is like back in Space Seed. What is it about such female officers that they fall in love with the first living...
Listen, the ancient history officer historian on the Enterprise was bullshit enough. It's like they were going the wrong direction. Is this Earth? No? Oh, all right, okay. I guess I'll just continue on this merry voyage. Painting pictures of half-naked ancient soldiers.
And collect paychecks.
Paychecks. Oh, woe is me.
Pity the working person.
We're doomed.
Well, you're not exactly batting them out of the park either, fella.
Is this the one where men are in charge and women are now subservient again?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Even among the gods, Aphrodite tried to get involved in the Trojan War, but she ended up getting wounded. And Zeus, you know, told her, just sit this one out, honey.
Also, like, even a cursory knowledge of mythology would be, he's not going to love you for time without end. There's going to be someone new. She's going to be female, human, daughter of Eros, I guess, whatever.
And you spotted her before she materialized?
Ooh.
You're telling me that Chekhov, at the age of 22, Chekhov has never been around the block, so to speak, with a nice girl? Ah, once again, I'm in charge. I'm in command. We will now discuss silent Russian science fiction films, if I could find some excuse to sneak in conversation. Oh, yes, he can definitely do it. Ooh. She is just really radiating that Leslie Parrish attraction there.
I'm back. That was the door.
Okay. Oh. Yes, those of you, don't bother writing lostpodcast@ofTitan@gmail.com and explain to the son here what was under discussion while he was away.
Oh, he's trying to find out more about the Apollo, trying to convince her that she's still human, reject him. It's not, you know, love.
What's love got to do with it, honey?
What's love but a secondhand emotion? Why isn't Tina Turner ever in a Star Trek episode?
Well, she was in a Mad Max film. I guess that makes up.
That doesn't count. I said Star Trek, not Mad Max.
I do know that Toya Wilcox wants to be in a Star Trek episode.
Who's Latoya Wilcox?
She's a British pop singer married to Robert Fripp. And I know you're going to ask, who's Robert Fripp?
Who's, yeah.
don't worry. I'll take care of this. I'll send you a very nice link to a very nice short video, and you'll understand. But she would be interested in...
You haven't even watched an episode of Love, Death, and Robots. I ain't watching shit until you watch that.
You will watch shit. I am the father. You will watch shit. Sit you down in front of the TV. Watch the shit. About 60, 90 second shit. You just sit there and watch it, and you will appreciate it.
I'm here trying to expose you to culture. Awesome TV.
Oh, you're going to expose me to culture. Oh, it is the, yes. It is a laugh. Wait, I'm raising my sleeve so I can laugh into it. Ha ha, ho ho.
This isn't really a good episode, by the way.
Oh no, it's a nice episode. I mean, if all we can do
I don't know. I can't really take Apollo seriously.
Well, not in that outfit.
It also feels so fucking lazy. Just, oh my god. Boom, boom, boom.
Meanwhile, back in orbit.
Beam us up. We're leaving. Fuck this place. Arm photon torpedoes.
Wait, didn't Apollo fuse all the circuits and all the devices?
For his... No, just the phasers.
Oh, okay.
That's my understanding.
You weren't all together when this episode started, so... Scotty
comes back. I have coffee. I have more coffee left for her.
This really isn't turning out to be a good Scotty episode.
No, but we need to get him, you know, somewhere.
Yeah. Where'd you get all those nice muscles? I'm curious to know what sort of specimens she's encountered.
Damn.
What's that? What's that? That word cock blocked. Ooh.
Oh, damn.
If she knows Greek mythology, then she must know she's really skating on that thin ice.
Damn!
Ooh. Oh. And he really knows nothing about dealing with women.
No, he doesn't.
Then, of course, a lot of male-female relationships would be sort of easier if the men were able to do that kind of thing.
This is fair enough. But, you know, if you throw one lightning bolt, they'll get disappointed you can't throw two.
Well.
And then some Apollo comes around or some Zeus who could throw three or four, and they're like, ah, shit. Oh, well, whatever.
Well, it's not so much like how many lightning bolts you throw. It's just where do you throw them? The innuendo here in this discussion is so thick. Scotty, calm down.
Oof. Good job holding the dress down.
Yeah. I imagine there were some nervous moments.
Pew, pew, pew. Wait, you're supposed to wait for the command. Spock's supposed to say fire. What the fuck?
Well, Sulu's doing a pretty good job of handling the situation by himself here. I see coffee was a little strong this morning.
Maybe he just hasn't had coffee in a long while, so this is a really good cup.
Don't they have like a supersize or something at Starbucks?
They call those a venti, I think.
Oh.
And see, he's an alien with his technology in a convenient nearby spot, just like the Squire of Gothos.
Yeah.
Which makes me suspicious that the writer didn't really have any good ideas. He just kind of copied the Squire of Gothos. And instead of doing a Napoleonic soldier, decided to do Greek and thought he was cute. And then he found his poem that had Who Mourns for Adonai? And thought himself really clever.
Gasp.
And then he sold it. And he said, I'm a real writer now. And Harlan Ellison looked at the script, shook his head, handed it back, and said, good job. Yes, very good.
Michael Forrest, who played Apollo, and Leslie Parrish, who played Carolyn, they apparently had a lot of fun doing this episode.
Of course they did. He gets to show off, she gets to show off, they show off together. Yes.
Really? Yeah, we can see.
They've only known each other for like 5 hours. If that. Unite and form. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Avengers assemble.
Robo Olympia. Dun, 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 dun. See, I don't even have to look it up. I'm fairly certain there has to be a Super Sentai show where they play the parts of gods and they form a giant robot Zeus kind of thing.
Now, was this really necessary? I mean, he could have accompanied them back up to the ship, been sent to Earth and stuff, and might have really found life interesting. Well, it's a bit late now.
And also, the trick with Q, because this is, you know, what Q's kind of based on, is that Q has no one singular point of technology just conveniently set aside for phasers and photon torpedoes to fire on that makes him powerless. Q is Q, and you have to be, you know, clever or play his game or whatever it is to get rid of Q.
In the original script, it doesn't end quite like this. It ends with McCoy reporting to Kirk saying that Lieutenant Carolyn Palm is pregnant.
Oh, really?
Yes, and leaving it at that.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that would
have been a better ending.
That would have been interesting.
But I wasn't really that impressed with this episode, to be honest.
I'll give it a B.
I'm giving it a C. It's just the writing felt very lazy, especially like last season. It really feels like he just saw Squire of Gothos and put his own spin on it.
Have you?
Go ahead.
No, have you ever read Roger Zelazny's Lord of Light?
No.
Okay. I think something was mentioned about introducing someone else to culture, but
you haven't seen Love, Death, and Robots, or The Boys, or Black. You've seen a few episodes of Black Mirror. Haven't finished that. Don't even talk to me.
I don't think they're going away. But to get on with my original comment, I believe it won the Hugo. Yes,
that doesn't mean nothing. I got a few Hugos on my shelf.
But anyway, the story takes place on this Earth. What started out as an Earth colony, but it lost contact with Earth, and the inhabitants of this world take the technology they have, and some of them set themselves up as leaders based on Hindu mythology rather than Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how they were eventually overthrown. Watching this episode made me think of that novel, which I recommend to some of the more open-minded people in our audience. But
meanwhile, the people with class in our audience can watch Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix and The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Are you getting a kickback from Amazon or Netflix or something? Is that what it is?
No, it's just I'm amused that you haven't been able to get to it yet.
There's so much competition now. It's not like it was back in the 60s where I would get like an episode of Star Trek, an episode of Lost in Space, and then Project Terror on late Friday nights, and that was it.
Well, it's not my fault.
No, I know it isn't, but I'm just...
But you're retired. You're just supposed to be the life.
Yes, but I'm also trying to write things.
No, your writing is at least better than this dude's writing.
Oh, thank you.
You would have had Apollo show up on Earth and be like, what did the fuck did y'all do with my mountain?
Yes. This isn't my temple. Who let my temple go to waste here? Some people are going to have to answer for a few things. Oh, and find me a blonde.
Find me a blonde yeoman. Wait, not that one. That's a salt vampire. Are you blind?
And they're going, salt vampire.
Oh, here we go. Okay, we're on good track. The next one is the changeling.
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I think we're in for a lot of decent episodes, pretty much in sequence here.
I'm not familiar with the apple off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. That's the one with the giant. The simple inhabitants worship the giant dinosaur head. It's actually a supercomputer, I believe.
Oh, yeah. What about the one where Kirk versus the Sasquatch, or whatever the fuck that was?
Kirk versus the Sasquatch.
He, gets shot by an arrow, I think.
Wow, now I'm really lost.
A Private Little War? No.
Oh, you're thinking of the planet. Yeah, I believe A Private Little War. There was a beast on that planet called the Mugato. Sort of an albino.
Yep, that's it.
Albino gorilla with a horn.
Yeah, there you go. The albino horn, yes. Euphemism. Air quotes.
No, that was an actual horn on the top of the Mugato's head.
What is it? Blato entre la, when the walls fell. But anyway, so next time it will be the changeling. And we hope you all enjoyed the episode, at least better than we enjoyed the episode, or I enjoyed the episode. And we will catch you next time.
And y'all behave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.